Welcome to Changemakers, a podcast from APH. We're talking to people from around the world who are creating positive change in the lives of people who are blind or have low vision. Here's your host.
Hello, and welcome to Changemakers. I'm APH's Public Relations Manager, Sarah Brown, and on today's episode, during Black History Month, we're examining how health can impact your eyes. After that, we're going to hear feedback about the recent Monarch teacher in professional training. Up first, it's amazing to learn about how one's health can impact eyes. Three health ailments common among African Americans include hypertension, commonly known as high blood pressure, and diabetes. The other is glaucoma. All of these diseases can cause devastating and long-lasting damage to the eyes. Here to talk about health and eye care is Dr. Yoron Soltau. Dr. Soltau is an ophthalmologist and glaucoma specialist. He's also the chair of the University of Louisville School of Medicine, Department of Ophthalmology and Visual Sciences. Hello, Dr. Soltau, and welcome to Changemakers.
Well, wonderful. It's great to be here.
So for my first question, can you just introduce yourself and share what it is that you do?
Well, my name is Dr. Yoron Soltau. I'm an ophthalmologist, and my specialty within ophthalmology is glaucoma and cataracts. And my position currently is I'm the chair of the Department of Ophthalmology and Visual Sciences at the University of Louisville School of Medicine.
And for my next question, I always just love to hear the background story. Can you just share how you got into your profession?
Well, in medical school, I just found it very interesting, the eye, that you actually see what's going on. You can look inside the eye, you can see the retina, and you do something with your hands, you operate, and you see patients in the office and in the operating room. So that's what attracted me to the specialty.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for sharing how you got into your profession. It's always just such interesting stories I've heard. Now, this podcast is about health and eye care and common health ailments that have a high occurrence among African Americans include high blood pressure, also known as hypertension, diabetes, and glaucoma. Let's just start off the top. Can you just explain what high blood pressure is?
Well, high blood pressure, is that the pressure in our arteries from the heart is too high, and there are many different causes why that is, but some of the arteries narrow and the resistance of flow increases, and that the blood pressure increases for the blood to go being pumped throughout the body. And it's actually quite common. In African Americans, at least 45% have high blood pressure. In non-Hispanic whites, it's less, about 30-35%, and Caucasians also around 30%. It's quite common, especially in African Americans. And then as you have chronic blood pressure, the blood vessels and arteries, they harden and narrow, and then the blood flow actually decreases to the end organs, and also decrease the blood flow to the eye decreases. So there is then less oxygen going to the inside of the eye, especially to the retina where the light is being detected, and that damages the retina and can cause problems.
So the high blood pressure causes what, a lack of oxygen to the eyes, and then the damage occurs? Is that how that works?
Lack of oxygen, and it often is combined, actually, and that is was your second topic, with diabetes. It often comes in combination. Diabetes, it's affects about 10% of the population have diabetes. And again, in African American, it's about 60% higher than in other groups. And diabetes also affects blood vessels. You know, the high blood sugar, diabetes means that the blood sugar level is high, and that affects small blood vessels and also causes dropout of small blood vessels and also leads to ischemia. And then that leads to swelling of the retina in the back eye and lack of oxygen, and then it causes blindness. So the combination of both of those.
And I'm sure in your profession, you've treated patients that are having eye issues that are stemming from their diabetes or their high blood pressure. What is it like to treat those patients?
Well, the main thing is that things just get blurry. I mean, you know, normal visual acuity is 20/20, and it slowly decreases 20/30, 20/40, 20/50, until if it's not treated, that you can actually become legally blind. So it's mainly that things are not in focus anymore. They get blurry. And then you have trouble reading, trouble driving. And eventually it can lead to legal blindness.
Okay. And if a person is losing their sight due to diabetes or the high blood pressure, that can't be treated? The sight loss can't be treated with corrective lenses?
It cannot be corrected with lenses, no. The way to address this is, one, to correct the blood sugar level and the high blood pressure. So to start medications that the blood pressure level is lower, and then medications that the blood sugar level is lower. That's on the patient side. And then the ophthalmologist can do injections into the eye and also laser treatment to help with the ischemia and increase the blood flow and restore vision.
Wow. So it really all does go back to your overall health and how it impacts your eyes, which is the topic of this podcast. So hopefully we're hitting the nail on the head for some of our listeners out there. Now for my next question, another eye disease that's prevalent among African Americans is glaucoma. Can you talk about what that is and what are some of the symptoms?
Well, for one, glaucoma is actually the leading cause of irreversible blindness. The leading cause of blindness is cataracts, but that can be reversed by doing cataract surgery. But glaucoma is something that cannot be reversed if it's not treated. And it's a condition where the eye pressure is too high. There's always fluid being secreted to the inside of the eye to bring nutrients to the inside, to keep the eye a little bit under pressure so the eyeball doesn't collapse, so the optical dimension stays stable. That fluid that's being secreted into the eye has to drain out of the eye so that there's a constant turnover of fluid. With glaucoma, those fine pores where the fluid drains out, they clog up. So the fluid secretes into the eye but cannot drain out properly. So the pressure builds up inside the eye, and then that pushes on the optic nerve in the back of the eye and causes damage. So if you leave glaucoma untreated, the pressure stays up, that damages the optic nerve, and you lose your connection from the eye to the brain, and you basically go blind.
Okay, so when I go to the eye doctor and they stick what looks like, I don't know, a contact on a stick in my eye, that's checking my eye pressure, correct?
That's correct. That's to check the eye pressure. So, and glaucoma, and the what's important to know about glaucoma, you know, yes, you eventually go blind if you don't treat it, but the patient doesn't really realize what's going on until it's very late, because it progresses very, very, very slowly. And your brain adjusts to that kind of new vision. If you don't see that well in one area in one eye, the brain kind of puts images from both eyes together, and you don't notice that something's wrong until very late into the disease. So, but the important thing, therefore, is to detect it early, to have an eye exam, check the eye pressure, look into the eye, see if there's any damage to the optic nerve, and then either follow the patient if everything's okay, or start treatment to lower the eye pressure. And luckily, there's good treatment out there to lower the eye pressure. The first treatment is eye drops. There are many different eye drops that you can use once a day, twice a day, to lower the eye pressure. And then if eye drops are not enough, then there's also laser treatment to open up the pores where the fluid's draining out. But if laser is not enough, then there's also surgery, that you actually make a totally new drain so that the fluid can leave the eye.
Wow, this is such really good information to know. My next question, is there anything else you would like to share regarding iCare Health or anything with U of L Health?
Well, important is regular eye exams. Again, if you have hypertension, if you have diabetes, you at least need an annual eye exam to make sure that with the eyes, everything is okay. If you have someone in your family with glaucoma, you need to have an eye exam to make sure that you're not at risk or that you don't have it. So that's why it's important. And then also in general, what I tell my patients, if they ask me, what can I do? One important thing is wear sunglasses when you go outside. Don't smoke. Eat green leafy vegetables, antioxidants. That's very important for in general health, but also for eye health.
So it really does go back to your overall health and what you're eating and making those healthy choices. And sometimes those healthy choices aren't fun, but you know, it's for your overall health, which impacts every part of your body and most notably your eyes. Is there anything else you would like to share, or are there any new findings or studies going on in your field?
Well, one other really important eye disease that causes vision loss is macular degeneration. And there are new treatments coming almost every month, medications to treat macular degeneration. It's not as easily treated as glaucoma or cataracts, but still there is treatment out now. And again, you need to be followed regularly, see if you have any signs of macular degeneration. You know, macular degeneration is a condition that affects the center of our vision, right in the center. And then there's medications, again, it's injections into the eye that helps keep that at bay and not progress. So that's the latest that's going on.
So is that inflammation of the eye that they're trying to get rid of with those treatments?
Well, inflammation seems to be part of it. We don't fully understand how it develops, but it's somehow the retina is damaged, changes, the hemorrhages. It has nothing to do with blood pressure or diabetes. It's totally separate, but we don't know the exact cause of it.
Now, do you have anything to share about cataracts?
Cataract is that the lens inside the eye. There's inside the eye, there's a lens like in a camera that focuses the image in the back of the eye.
Yeah.
But that lens becomes cloudy, we call it cataract. And the name cataract is actually interesting where it comes from. When the cataract gets really dense, it turns white. And the ancient Greeks thought that there was some bad humor flowing down across your vision and obscuring your vision. And that's why it's called cataract, because the cataract of the eye is like rapids on a river, white water. That's the Latin name for that, cataract. So that's where the name comes from. They thought that there was bad humor, like white water flowing across your vision. And then, when we take the cataract out, there are different ways. One is to break the lens into small pieces with ultrasound and suck it and irrigate it out, or break it up with laser and irrigate it out. So those are the two main methods to remove the lens. And then you put a lens implant in to get the eye back in focus.
This has been such an informative podcast and learning about all of this. This is such great stuff. My final question I want to ask you before I let you go is, do you have anything else you would like to share or say? It can be about some of the topics we discussed, anything. It's yours.
The only thing I want to say is that I'm very grateful for your organization, the American Printing House for the Blind, for the service that you all provide for the community here in Louisville, in the state of Kentucky, in the United States, and across the world to help our community patients with visual impairment to have a more fulfilled life and that they can function better and have a more enjoyable and fulfilled life. And actually, one of my colleagues, Dr. Charles Barr, he's on the board of the American Printing House of the Blind.
Yes, he sure is on our board of directors. Dr. Sultan, thank you so much for coming on Changemakers and talking to me about health, overall health, and eye health. It's been a wonderful discussion.
Very good. It was a pleasure. Thank you. Bye.
I've put put links in the show notes about high blood pressure, diabetes, glaucoma, diabetic retinopathy, and more in the show notes. Now we're going to shift to learn about the recent Monarch training at ATIA. I have APH's Leslie Weilbacher and Jeff Schwartz here to tell us more. Hello, Jeff and Leslie.
Hi, thanks.
Hello, Sarah. Nice to be here.
And from the top, I always like to ask, can you just introduce yourself and share what it is that you do here at APH?
Sure. So I'm Leslie Weilbacher. I'm the outreach specialist for the Northwest region of the U.S. I do a lot of teacher training, teacher support. I participated a lot on the Monarch team here, building out these trainings.
And my name is Jeff Schwartz, and I am the Director of Regional Training and Outreach. Prior to my role as director, I was also a regional specialist for the Southeast. Part of the lift for this Monarch training, our whole entire team was engaged for, probably over 8 months now in content development and the creation of resources and materials and webinars all around and to support the Monarch mission.
Okay, and you two were both recently at ATIA. Can you just talk about what that conference is and what you all did there?
Sure. So ATIA is actually an acronym for the Assistive Technology Industry Association. It's been around for many years, and it's a really large international event where they pull together AT manufacturers, developers, and resellers, and they offer a lot of opportunities for professional development and training on a large variety of assistive technology, not just specifically to visual impairments, but inclusive of that. They also offer opportunities for pre-conferences. So where our role was for my team was we actually had a two-day pre-conference attached to the ATIA for the purposes of bringing professionals together and being able to present on our newest development, the multi-line braille, refreshable braille display, which is known as the Monarch.
So talk to us about the recent training at ATIA.
Sure. So this was actually a multi-step process here. We had an application that went out nationwide. Those that we selected through that process then had pre-requirements to come to these trainings. And after completing the training, we have homework for them. So we had 41 teachers and assistive technology professionals from around the country at this training. We went over the basics of the device. We went over some of the tips and tricks for troubleshooting. And then we really got to dive into how it could be used in the classroom with a student in different scenarios. People really got excited about the tactile graphics capability, being able to jump into the tactile graphics image library, the TGIL, and search for things on the fly. And then, of course, the graphing calculator, where you can input an equation and feel your graph in real time, just blew people away. In fact, it was so much fun. I had to put on my teacher voice and say, okay, sit on your hands for a minute and listen before we move forward.
So, it's like a true teacher.
That's great.
Now, so that's great. People were excited. That sounds like the reception. I mean, who isn't excited to see something like the Monarch? But what were some of the thoughts expressed from the teachers and professionals during the trainings?
So, Sarah, it was actually pretty exciting. Our team had a lot of nerves going into this. This was our kickoff launch of this training opportunity. So we were, we were confident in our ability to pull this off, but it's always a lot more intimidating when you come drop right down to, and how is the experience going to be? What I can tell you, one of the things that stood out for me immediately after the end of day one, which of course seemed very long to us, I was approached by one of the participants who was just lit up with excitement and said that she couldn't believe that after spending a whole day, with intense training and hands-on this tool, that she's like, typically when I do a full day conference, I am exhausted at the end of the day. And she's like, I have never felt so energized at the end of at the end of a training day. I just can't wait to get back to my room and play on this device and learn more about it on my own and get prepared for day two. So that was super exciting to hear after a very long, exhausting day and getting set up the day before. So I actually felt, I think our whole team felt energized with comments like that. I do have a couple of quotes that we received from some participants, so I'd like to share if possible.
So absolutely, go ahead.
So one quote that we received, but from our participant, says, "It's such an honor and a privilege to have been part of this pilot training. I think we all had our doubts prior to the training about the efficiency of this device, and are all leaving knowing that this is really the future for our students. It makes me so happy to see we are one step closer to closing the gap between our students with visual impairments and the sighted world." And I have one other quote, if you would entertain me, I would like to share as well.
Sure, go right on ahead.
"This training has been the most amazing experience in my 38 years. Everything was wonderful. The instructors were stellar, and it was such an honor to be here and be part of the biggest development in the field in my lifetime. Thank you for the amazing food, the thoughtful graduation, and all of the joy and vision you shared. I will do my best to pay it forward. You are now a part of every lesson I ever teach and every life I touch." And, it doesn't get much better than that.
How heartwarming, and how does that make you all feel hearing that feedback? You put in all this time and energy and effort. How does it
Oh,
feel to hear that?
so
Yes,
validating.
this was a huge undertaking for our team. We are we certainly strive to put on great training whatever it is that we're doing, but this was a massive undertaking, and this product is still under development. So, it has been the 7 months of blood, sweat, and tears going into this activity, leading up to, the pinnacle being this opportunity to start training the folks around the country. And it is, yes, like Leslie said, it was really validating to know that all of these efforts were so well received, and we really pulled off what we were hoping to do, and look even better than we had anticipated.
Exactly. Now, what's next for teacher training in the Monarch?
That's an excellent question. So this was the first, as I mentioned, of this was our pilot launch of our Monarch Masters trainings. So as part of this mission, we are, trying to place approximately 170 units around the country, through this application process. We were really trying to get it into a variety of professional hands around the country to gain the most feedback and experience from great professionals from around our country. So what we have now coming is we have four additional trainings throughout the spring that are going to be located in various sites around the country. So where we are scheduled to be doing this through, we start as early as March in Baltimore, Maryland. Then we will have Austin, Texas, Los Angeles, California, and we're wrapping our trainings up in Chicago, Illinois, right at the end of April. So we have a busy spring ahead of us.
And then I always like to ask this final question. Is there anything else you would like to share? Anything?
Well, I think if people are interested in the journey towards the Monarch, specifically around tactile graphics literacy, we did put together a four-part webinar series on just that. And that can be found on the APH YouTube channel.
Yeah, and I would also add, right now it is a closed community that we are working with, and part of engaging participants from our field around the country is to build a community. And so we will be launching this device hopefully this fourth quarter of the year with lots of content, pre-developed lessons, great quotes, and great ideas to be shared with professionals as they begin their own journeys. So I will encourage folks to stay tuned for more information through communications at APH. And we'll be watching the Hive, APH Hive, which we are already building a professional learning community, as I mentioned. It's closed right now, but our goal is at the time of launch, we should have a really robust community to support each other around the country with great ideas and great lessons. And we are all really, really excited about this opportunity and the future that it's going to open up for our students around the country.
Awesome. Well, Leslie and Jeff, thank you so much for coming on Changemakers today.
Absolutely. Happy
Thank you
to.
for having us. Yeah.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Changemakers. In addition to the health and eye care links in the show notes, I've also put links to Monarch information in there as well. And something new this year, if you have any suggestions for podcast topics, I want to know. Shoot me an email at changemakers@aph.org. That's changemakers@aph.org. As always, be sure to look for ways you can be a changemaker this week.